Welcome to another installment of the Final Scoop Podcast. My name is Robert Chinesky. Joining me as always is my band of merry gentlemen and Robert Samborski of Pollen Nutrition, Shane Baby Smith Face Smith of Stack 3D, TJ Who's Your Daddy Going, Fitness Deal News, and Lucas Old Balls Ritkowski of Prometheus Intelligent Sports Technology. Welcome, my friends. How are we all doing? We are here again. And for all of you tuning in on the live feeds, thank you for joining us. Post up your comments and questions for discussion. If it doesn't look like they're getting populated in there, just keep entering them. Sometimes YouTube and Facebook get a little glitchy with the comments. So keep them rolling and we will address all of them as soon as we get through a couple of our main event topics like we do every week here. So what is going on, gents?
Shen Babyface. I like it.
I'm kind of jealous. I think that TJ is taking a page out of John's book and
TJ, you are on a vacation or something?
No, this is my house. This is actually the back of my house.
He went one step further. Screw the couch.
Get a raise or something?
Let's just change the outdoors.
There we go. I probably should have sat outdoors today too, but I don't know if my battery would have lasted on my laptop. But it's a
Robert is paying you too much. That's fucking insane.
Exactly. No, it's all the kickbacks he's getting from those supplement companies for those positive reviews.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. A thing.
That's exactly.
I have a yard, but even though like my wall had toilets and shit behind it, it looks much better than what it would like if I showed you my outside.
Right. And Pete Pasmus is on joining us on the live feed. Pete, happy birthday. It's Pete's father's 75th birthday today. So happy birthday to your father.
Happy birthday, man.
How is that possible? Pete himself is like 72.
Maybe his father had him when he was 13. It was one of those early starters.
Like during his bar mitzvah or something like that? Like he found out from some nice Jewish chick and like knocked her down. Yeah. Dude, what was going on there?
I see we got a Jewish, you know, the Jewish Jewish podcast.
The Jew cast.
Helder Rodriguez, welcome. Listen, people, Miggy 002. Is that like 007 but 002? Are you part of the
didn't have a budget MI6? For 007, yeah.
All right, so our first question, actually, Shane, what is the concoction that you're drinking? Because you were drinking something on Monday, and we got a feisty Shane on Monday, so I'm curious to see what's brewing in that shaker.
Well, no, because like I said, the tight daylight saving, so previously this was at 6 in the morning for me, and I don't eat until 7:30. Now it's 7:30. So my concoction, and I didn't realize this, but I've been having this for 12 years. It wasn't until someone said, it was on a comedy show, and they said, I have oats and water and a glass of wine every morning for the last 20 years.
A glass of wine for breakfast?
Yeah. It was a comedy show, and it was like, you had to tell whether it was a lie. And I was like, it sounded believable, because I was like, wait, I've been having my shit for a fucking... So it is, I don't know how much oats and a cup or whatever, but it's like enough for 60 grams of carbs.
All the macros.
A handful of strawberries, scoop of protein, and a tablespoon of peanut butter. And blend it up.
Solid. Which protein you are using right now?
I'm mixing it up. Usually I try not to have any whey in it. So right now, usually it's like a vegan or an egg. Typically egg, but it's a cause vegan, so it's enjoyable. But the strawberries really make anything taste good, so it doesn't really matter.
Is that just because you're trying to diversify your protein intake, or do you just not agree with whey?
No, I just like doing something different. Like makes it feel like a real food shake, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'll put a scoop of vegan, so it feels like I'm putting peas and brown rice. Not really, but you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of like greens.
It's the halo effect. You think you're doing something good. Pete's old, but he can keep up with us. That's true. He can hang with the youngins in the crowd. So my first question for you all, and this is a suggestion or a topic idea that Pete had, and for all of the listeners out there, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or a question about the supplement industry you'd like us to discuss on the episodes, shoot any of us a message or an email or something, or leave a comment in the YouTube comments or on the Facebook feed. Let us know what you want us to hear or talk about, because sometimes we tend to think we get so mired down in the minutiae of the industry, we tend to get, you know, the blinders on. We forget some of the bigger picture or some of like the more generic questions because we assume that everybody may know that. So Pete's question for us and for the panel is why or how are supplements sometimes cheaper on distributor or retailer sites than from the actual company itself?
I thought that was pretty easy, isn't it?
So Robbie, do you want to take a crack at that since you're the sure. brand owner?
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly easy. Every time you release a supplement, obviously on your website, the retailers, if you choose to sell to retailers and not just direct to consumer, they obviously check the prices on your website. And that's a very standard procedure. If your prices are cheaper, they will start complaining, bitching, et cetera, about it. And I mean, they definitely have a point because the thing is that most stores, sell, you know, in a certain neighborhood to people that live in the area. So for them to go and pick up a supplement that's going to be, you know, cheaper than ordering it online makes sense because otherwise, you know, it's actually customary today, thanks to, I guess, Amazon, that everything you get online is cheaper. It's delivered right to your door. Everybody is, you know, likes the convenience. You know, people don't want to get out today. They want to get everything super fast, super cheap, super convenient. So the consumer is a little bit spoiled. So for them to actually go to the store, it has to make sense. So the price has to be, if the price is about the same as the company sells online, then they can justify it because they're going to look at it. Well, number one, I can pick it up right now. Number two, I don't have to wait for it about 2 or 3 days shipping. I don't have to pay extra shipping as well. So it's very, very convenient. That's the reason why companies do sell online and they have all kind of loopholes like, you know, codes, obviously, if they have any athletes or ambassadors or, you know, special holidays where they give 20, 30, sometimes even higher percent margins, discounts, or they give freebies such as T-shirts and whatnot. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that I know for a fact that some of the stores, even because I, like I said, I'm a nerd, so I like to ask questions, especially about things that I'm not very aware of. I'm trying to learn something. I noticed a few stores locally that I'm friends with, maybe don't carry as much, for example, Radcon as they used to. And the main reason for it is because Radcon is very, very aggressive on, you know, on social media and for marketing. Direct to consumer, where obviously they make more margins and the brand is pretty much well established. So they feel like, well, we don't really need the stores. Yet stores are buying from them regardless because the brand is very, very popular. So you will always have somebody who's going to stop by and ask for a Radcon product. I know, for example, Evogen, if I'm not mistaken, actually just pulled out of, they had a dispute or something like that from DPS. So you have a lot of companies that are actually well known. They try to go direct, but companies that are either average or they, you know, their policies to sell to brick and mortar and to, you know, to retailers obviously have to maintain certain prices in order to be able to sell both direct and to the stores, but one's going to impact the other one. So it's very, very hard to find the balance. And I'm sure actually probably TJ can answer even better than I do because he's familiar with both sides from the brands to retailers, and to find that balance, and especially when, you know, you can find great offers from Fitness Deal News, it's very, very hard. And I guarantee you, even though I never talked to TJ about it, that he probably had some nasty phone calls because I know I had. So it's probably like very, very common thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the reason is exactly like what you said. The brand site will always try to, or most of the times will try to maintain a price that's a bit higher than usual. And in some cases, when there's brands that are going retail only, or they call themselves retail exclusives, they won't sell through other online stores, then the prices are even higher. So like on their site, like you'll see prices that are, like you'll find in retail stores way cheaper than you'll find on their site. And I'm talking brick and mortar, right? But I think to your point about deals, in today's world, I would say you almost have only two options. You either have a very, very strict MAP policy, manufacturer approved price, which most brands don't have, and enforce it. There's one brand, without even naming, that I can tell you that would literally, if you find their pre-workout for less than $50 on a site, after coupons, after anything, they'll shut you down. Just shut you down. By the way, a small brand. They'll take it out. That's it. You're dead. They'll never sell to you. And but most people don't enforce it. And it's still supplements used to enforce it very hard. By the way, if you would fuck up with their prices, they would literally shut you down. They'll totally, actually until today, they'll shut you down. And but very much, I think you have three options. One, you just say, hey, it's a market. I have my wholesale price. People can do whatever they want to do. Number two is you enforce MAP really, really aggressively, which very rarely is getting done. Or the third option, which is what you see in the ones that I mentioned, you just say, hey, you know what? I don't sell anyone online. Once you sell anyone online, it's a massacre. The prices are gonna go down. It's super hard to you go on eBay and you'll find stuff, you know, free shipping. You know, there's pre-workouts that are super popular, and there's literally no reason to drop the price on them. But the minute you let them out, you'll find it $36 shipped on eBay. So someone made $10 instead of being able to make $30 margin, right? But you'll find them, and it's very hard to control. So that's what happens, and I think it's very hard. And to your point about getting emails and text messages and nasty Facebook messages, it happens all the time. You know, like I would post a deal, which it's like I make the deal, right? I just post it. But I'll post a deal and I'll get like, you're ruining the industry. You're killing brick and mortar shops. And I said, fuck, man, what do you want me to do? Like, I think Shane, you ran into that shit also.
I right? told you that you, yeah, one of right. your deals got me in shit right. because some right. distributor, some distributor hit me up and then hit up the brand and then called me an hour after I shared it, a day after wasn't you me. Shared it.
Wasn't me.
And they were like, hey man, could you potentially take this down? And I was like, what, like, are you guys going to stop doing the deal? And I was like, well, no. And I'm like, what's the fucking problem though? And he's like, just the distributor saw it and was really disappointed. And I'm like, well, okay. And I was like, I mean, I left it up for the day. And I was like, I mean, you owe me for this. Like, I think I don't even know if we took it down. I think I changed the headline because
the headline
read the individual price when you had to buy like two or three or something.
Right.
That's what pissed them off. And then it was like just that flat price. Like when Nutrix had their pre-workout for like $12 or something.
Right.
Yeah. Five. It was still like $12 or $13. It was insane.
It's very hard to control it. And I think once you do that, you're in. It's a super competitive market. I mean, the only way you can control this is with very high wholesale prices. But even then, some people at some point will say, hey, a dollar I'm not making is a dollar I'm not making. So I might as well make a dollar and compete. And if it's an open market, that's it. Prices are going to go down. And you see that everywhere, right? It's very, very hard to control it. Definitely once the product gets popular. And that's it.
Yeah.
Lucas, how do you handle things from your side when you're bringing products in? How do you work with brands and establish the prices that y'all are going to sell at or purchase from them on, and then your
market?
Yeah,
you know what? TJ mentioned this, and it's a great point, you know, to talk about, you know, because, you know, if it goes online, then it's screw up, especially in this type of environment when you have such a competition, you know, and everything. But many brands, just like many companies, I would say, don't care, because from my perspective, we need to do everything on the legal way. So basically, when we import products to Europe, everything needs to, you know, be taxed, everything needs to get the proper registration, regulations, and all the paperwork needs to be done. So you always need to pay, you know, all the taxes and everything. It always takes time. But for some smaller companies or the, like a retailers or even the brick and mortar, you know, type of a shops, when they import stuff such as like, I don't know, 10, 20 units to their shop, it's not a problem for them, you know. Yeah. They can also like purchase even the illegal stuff such as DMAA, DMHA stuff. So you can even see on the internet, and you know, just Google it up. In for example, in Poland, we have this auction portal. in US, or it's more like, it's very similar to Amazon or to the eBay, and it's called Allegro. So basically, you put everything what you need, and it shoots you know, the auctions where you can just pick the product straight away, or you can auction it for a good amount and bids, you know.
Sounds like eBay. So sounds very much like eBay.
Yeah, okay. Very similar like this. Okay. But you can buy all different shit, you know, from DMA, all the stuff, you know, and the prices, man, the prices sometimes are ridiculous. Even I don't buy the products in those kinds of prices. So this just shows you that.
Because it's individual people, right? It's
individual people. Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, they purchase the smaller amounts. They don't pay any taxes, no import fees, which allows them to drop the prices. So at the end, you know, the brand that sells the products is getting hurt, you know, because then their products are like, the price is getting lower and lower. I will give you a simple example for Animal Pack. Back in the day, it was like it was a top-notch product, and the price was stabilized on a good level. And nowadays, it's shit.
Is it?
It dropped so much. Seriously, but it's still one of the top sellers in Europe, and it's one of top-rated multivitamins in Europe, but you know, the price is so screwed up.
What does it go for now?
Just like for example, the Optimum Gold Whey. It's also, the price is so screwed up that your margin, our margin, the most, you know, most known distributor in Europe, you know, it's, to be honest, non-existent. So
really?
It just shows you, you know, that, you know, the smaller companies are hurting the industry, in my opinion, you know, especially if they are like, you know, try to screw up the industry by going, you know, on the back end, you know.
I think where you can make money, right? Like, you make volume with the big brands just because they push volume. You make money with unique products or with the products that can maintain price. Yeah. It's very hard to make. By the way, it's true for almost every industry. Right, on the mainstream products, it's really hard to make good margins, and it's on the unique ones is where you can actually maintain some margin. How much is Animal Pack in like retail in Europe? What does it go for?
I don't remember the price now, but I can check it.
I can tell you how much I paid for it when I was in the Czech Republic. I remember I went and bought it from a store, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
Was it expensive? Oh, really? I think in the US, what does it go for? Let me go into our
price. It's like $29. Like 30, 32. I think 32 on their site, 29 on.
Yeah, it's around 30 euros right now.
Yeah, see, so when I went to Prague, I paid. Oh.
Now, Helder is saying it's $26 wholesale. That seems really expensive for a wholesale price for Animal Pack. I mean, you'd be selling that at 50 something bucks in the shop.
Yeah, it sounds a lot.
Let me check how much is it in dollars.
But see, that's the kind of thing. That's kind of when you get guys like Prometheus who come in and buy like
dollars.
Yeah, like guys in Prometheus who would buy like, I don't know, millions of dollars worth, and then ship it in a container, which would probably be a shitload cheaper than what these little guys are doing it for.
Yeah.
And the idea I always thought was that it balances it out. You buy a shitload, you have to pay taxes, but you should try and almost come out good on the other end. But I would say, to your point about the whole site thing coming down, is it was like 6 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, everyone was insanely expensive on their site. I don't know if you remember, but like BSN used to have its protein at like $90. It was crazy. No one, and not MuscleTech didn't even have an online store. Nobody had high prices. And then it was, I almost feel like Redcon 1 was kind of like the Jim Stoppani of direct to consumer. Like Redcon 1 came in and everyone was flirting with good prices. But then Redcon was like, fuck yeah, $30 pre-workout, buy one, get one free. And then slowly everyone's prices came down. And now Optimum, MuscleTech, you all have prices that match a retailer, and no one cares. And you have and you have launches, brand new supplements that are now available that are like launched at deals where previously they were launched at retailers. So it's
Momentum Co.
I think it's it's just a change in times because
to be expensive. Animal Pack is like, you can find it. I was just checking the price comparison on our site, $24, as low as $24. Mm-hmm. So
I've seen that at like buy one half price. So
this is like literally $24. I mean, yeah. A site with a coupon or something like that, $24.
DPS would have a good deal.
DPS is $26, 2 day subs is $24. I mean, I just checked the price comparison. You can get it for $24. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. Once you go online, that's it. I mean, people are, everybody has its own different imperatives at any given point. Someone's trying to drive
volume. It'd be difficult for a brand to control international as well. Like if you have a store who's actually selling it for 24 and international guy who wants to buy a small amount is being offered 26, let's just say, then he may as well just go for the $24. Yeah, and he can buy from his store.
I'm telling you, Robert knows that because there were opportunities where we had deals that we hunted down that you could buy shit from a site cheaper than retail, wholesale. Sorry, cheaper than buying it from the distributor. It's just because it happens a lot. It happens quite a lot.
Yeah, I saw this many times as well. You know, and I also, you know, to Shane's point, I will also say, you know, that, you know, some brands that we work with are very, very good, you know, because, for example, they pick only one distributor or maybe two distributors and they work with only them, you know, and there is you know, okay, let's make a deal for this month or let's prepare something special for your clients, customers, which allows us and them to control the pricing and, you know, keep the margins on the consistent level. Because, you know, if they, for example, work with like they can sell to everyone, you know, then the price is screwed up consistently. But when you have this, you know, this good relationship, which we talked about many times, you know, about that, you know, the communication between the distributor and the company, you know, then it's a good stuff, you know.
It's just very hard to do when you're very big, right?
Yeah. And I think also is that number one, again, TJ is right. Like once you go online, it's very, very, very hard to control. I mean, close to impossible to control these things. There are certain steps that companies can do. I know what we are doing. And it's still not safe proof that, you know, we can control this. Like, for example, if we sell to somebody, say, in a certain area, we will not sell. If the relationship is established and everything, we will not sell to his competitor who is like across the street or like 5 miles away or something like that, you know, and it does help. It does help without a doubt, you know, selling to everybody who sells online is also can create like, oh, look, you know, they just put a nice PO. Yeah, they did. But now they're competing among themselves. And now you see prices definitely, you know, the product is suffering. So I can understand that, too. I've seen one company that a friend of mine used to carry, and we are very, very good friend. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, and he called me and he goes like, motherfuckers, you know, I just saw that they, you know, that bodybuilding.com sells it cheaper than the company sells to me. And the guy had like two or three stores. And he was pissed. Like I said, we are very, very good friends. So one of my closest friends, and he called the company and immediately, you know, there was a huge fight. The company obviously said they didn't know that bodybuilding.com would do that. I mean, there was like a whole issue, but the point is that, it does happen. It's very, very hard to control. Another thing is that, maybe when we just started, for example, we would sell, because we used to sell only online. TJ is immigrating from one place to another one.
My wife is throwing me away. I'm like, and just going from places to places.
So for example, we were selling our pre-workout Hooligan, I think between like $45 to $49, something like that. That was a retail price. And I know that Nutribio Pre was about the same price, also $44, $49. That was the retail price. across the board and, you know, everywhere. I mean, it's a solid formula. Anyway, I went to Vitamin Shop. That was maybe about 2 years ago or something like that. And I had to pick up fish oil for my coach. So I walk in and I saw Nutribar just they started selling at Vitamin Shop or something like that. They were there only for like a year, maybe less than a year. And I saw they pre-workout on the shelf. So I was just curious, like, to see what the price is. The price was $31. It was $31 plus if you use a coupon or some shit like that, you can get it about $2 cheaper. And I remember I called Mark Leisure and I said, you know, I just saw your pre-workout at Vitamin Shop. I mean, if I saw my pre-workout for that price, I would freak the fuck out. I said, like, is that okay? And he goes to me, no, I think it's a mistake. I think that particular store made a mistake, something like that. I basically said, like, listen, I don't give a shit. I saw the price, because for that price back then, that would be the price of C4 or something. You know, there is, of course, a difference between C4 and, you know, Nutribio Spray. We're just saying, like, once you see that price, and it wasn't a holiday or anything like that, it was just a regular, I don't know, Wednesday or some shit like that. Once you see that price that low, it's very hard to go back to 44, 49, or even close to impossible to go to those prices. But then again, certain companies just care about selling to as many as possible without thinking of consequences, and to control MAP pricing and stuff like that, it's also very, very hard. And I think these days it's almost close to impossible, especially when the brand is very popular. I think it's hard.
Unless you're willing to be very violent, it's impossible. There's brands who definitely do that, right? I mean, Core, very strong on MAP pricing. Like I mentioned, there's a couple of others. There's a couple of brands that are bigger. I mean, Core is a bit even bigger, I would say. But it's very hard on large scale. And once you go online, I think international is also like, Lukasz, I don't know how you guys even compete with the iHerbs and Vitacost of the world. Like, I can buy anything on iHerb with free shipping to any freaking place in Europe. And it's US prices, like retail, yeah. And then coupons and shit like that. I mean, it's and it gets to your house.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. You need to, like, establish this core relationship with your client, you know? And sometimes even if you have, a bigger price on one brand, and, for example, on other brands you have a better price, at the end he will go with you, you know? Plus, if he trusts you with your service and those kinds of things, which is another aspect, you know, of business relationship, then, you know, he also, like, chooses you, you know? Yeah.
Well, I was talking less about retail stores buying, let's say, from distributors, more direct, like the consumer. Just consumer can now go iHerb.com and buy.
When I was international, though, when I was international, I didn't buy online from the US, even though it works out cheaper. I did one when I was in the UK. I bought a stack. It was on sale, and they took the protein powder out because it wasn't registered imported. So that burned to shit. So they gave me a letter. They said it needed to be this,
oh,
and this.
Really?
So I couldn't get any protein powder. I think I had 5 pounds in there. Maybe there was like a size restriction.
There is a size restriction. Yeah.
And I know New Zealand has the same. If you come through customs and you're bringing it in hand, you're allowed 2 pounds open, 4 pounds, 5 pounds right, closed. Right. Yeah. But that's like, so that's this thing though. Like, you would order this, and if you were buying from overseas, you're extremely restricted. Whereas, like, yeah.
Like, the only thing that I think, pre-workouts,
pre-workouts are better, but then you also have the same problem, like, in New Zealand, is that if I bring in something with Yohimbe, it'll get burned. They'll take it out.
Will they actually stop it, though? Like,
they'll take it out.
Okay, they'll so most places they won't. Like, a small box with a pre-workout with whatever.
I don't think most places would take it out, but I would think some would. And so, I would think that if when you're spending a few $100 a month, I wouldn't risk it internationally. If I didn't know the rules.
I'm not gonna say who or what, but I'm just gonna say one thing, you know. My friend bought also a stack recently, and it was like a massive box. It was like 30 products, different kinds, from SARMs to pH, you know, DMAA, those kind of things, passed through customs like a normal stuff. Nothing was burned, nothing was diseased, nothing was, he had any issues. He just paid the import fees and that's about it. So yeah, man, if it's for personal use, it's gonna pass. But if you're like me, like a bigger distributor, then
not distributor. I'm talking
placing order for a container or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, not container. I'm talking individuals. Individuals. I mean, there's Vitacost and iHerb, right? Two sites, American companies that are very big. Actually, 99% of their sales is international because they figured out they just ship from all over. I don't know where they stock their stuff. And I went online just to see how much would it cost me to ship, let's say, to Israel, C4 Ultimate pre-workout. Man, $29.99 shipped.
Yeah.
I just don't see how you compete with that, right? I just don't understand how you compete with that.
Yeah,
unless
but
the consumer example, is not aware of it. But if the consumer
is aware. Like you said, if you are like in Israel, do you have any like bigger shops, bigger retailers that
there are, but why would I pay twice?
That's the other thing. I've shopped when I was in Europe, I shopped local mostly because when I order iHerb, I have had them take up to 2 weeks. And so for me, if I'm away and I don't have time, and
it
you can't
take
like
time. It does take time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, and the thing is, if you order from a store, they could be like, oh, order it now, it'll be there by Monday at the fastest. But if you order it from those big stores, because it's like, you'll be like, I order it now, it might not arrive by the time I leave. So you're kind of in the shit. I've honestly, every time I travel, I buy local, even though
that's
I know
a different situation because you stay for a limited time.
But yeah, I think if you know your market, if you know your area, and if you actually want to, like, because I mean, the prices when I'm over there, like for protein powder and intra workout and all the big stuff, even some of the big pre's, it works out cheaper to buy local. Hell yeah! It's in some of the European places, it's like they're getting much, much better. Even in Australia and New Zealand, you're paying maybe $5 difference, $10 difference to get it here than you would over there.
Yeah.
And or get it there and have it shipped. So, I mean, it's the distributors, obviously, the larger they get, the better they are. And then the more they import, the cheaper it gets. But I think I would never risk it personally. But I imagine if you lived in the country, you knew the rules. But to answer, I think Robert's original question, I think like Robert said, they charge more on their site so that the retailers don't get mad, as far as I know. But that's changing significantly with brands launching things at like 30% off, and is a shift from the last few years, where now it's just normal to buy the latest product from the brand, which wasn't the case, far from the case, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, now they start doing pre-orders
and they're,
or
and they're
things
really,
of that
really
nature,
good deals.
Which this brings up
to
good.
To be honest, I like this idea of doing the pre-orders, especially for like a really cool products. You mentioned recently about the Devastate.
The
newest one, which was like to me also incredible stuff, you know. And I also jump on a deal once they announce it. So yeah, the package is on the way to me. But yeah, guys, it's like, you know, doing those kinds of things is massive. For example,
I like the aggressive sales tactics, by the way.
Yeah, I was also scrolling today through Facebook and saw the Redcon One, the deals. That's also insane. Like, buy one, get one free.
Do y'all think that Redcon gives you insight into the company's quality of their products? If they're able to give you two pre-workouts, a free gym bag, a free t-shirt, a free pair of sandals, and a bunch of other free stuff for like $30. I mean, does that send off a little like warning bell in the back of your head that maybe the quality of the ingredients in the product aren't
as good? I don't think to an average Joe. I don't think, like, a lot of people are still not knowledgeable and they're just looking for a deal. I mean, you know, somebody like us or somebody who is like looking into labels or certain products, then yeah, absolutely. But I think to most average people, I mean, they see a deal and they jump on it and that's it. They think that they're actually, you know, winning, not realizing that some of the cheap shit that they're getting for free is actually more expensive than the product that they're paying for.
I think that TJ's point, not labels and labels, but deals are just deals. Like, I mean, to be honest, if I see a deal for like buy one, get one free and it doesn't make sense, I'm like, but I like that product. Like, it doesn't matter.
I think you need to look at the dynamics of how things work. When you go direct to consumer, it's just different math altogether. And what Redcon One did, they started very much, I mean, they invested tons of money in building their D2C. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're way more D2C than anything else. And their mobile app and there are a lot of promotions and it's just very much direct to consumer. And think about it, your margin is I mean, whatever, the pre-workout is X, the retail is 4X, you're okay with 50% because you're still making 50%. Yeah. It's just like you would do wholesale. So the math is very different D2C. I think where the challenge is for brands is when you have brands, and there's some very good brands out there, that they are on constant BOGO free, 50% off, even though they're not D2C. Mm-hmm. That's where you probably have margin issues.
Do about Nutrix?
There's Nutrix is one example, right? But there's a few. I would say there's a few.
Is like daily net lately.
Yeah, it's all the time. I mean, there's a few of these that, you know, you get addicted to it and it's almost impossible to go, because that's also your position inside your retailer. It's very hard to go up. But I think once you have D2C, the math is just different and you can afford to do that. And there's brands that, I mean, it's really, the sale, there's no one sales strategy that works. I think Redcon One went on, I mean, they're just huge right now, right? I'm sure they crossed the 100 mil revenue probably a while ago.
Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So in 3 years, right? So they're huge. Yeah. So I think that they're just going on volume, right?
Yeah, but you guys see this. You know, you have two types of, like, brands. Brands that do deals all the time and the brands that are like, we don't do any deals. For example, like Morphogen Nutrition, they don't do any deals. They have one set price on their products. They keep their prices and they go only to the customer, you know. So that's also a completely different policy, you know.
Call similar. They never used to do deals. And now that they do more deals, but they're still like just 10% off.
Yeah.
It doesn't drop too much.
Yeah, but Core is using this kind of deals for special occasions, I would say. Yeah. If you have, you know, like July 4th or those kind of things, you know, the special days for America when they are celebrating something, you know, or rebranding, they do deals. Okay, I can understand that. But, you know,
but Core, again, Core on the other end, they're very retail brick and mortar focused also. If they would go big time online, and it also affects your volume. Listen, it's very hard to go. If you recall, not as long as 3 years ago, it was very hard. I remember when we started FDN, when Optimum Nutrition Gold Standard went below $50, it was a deal. Mm. I'm just telling you, 3 years ago. Now, dude, $40, nobody gives a shit on the 5-pounder. And it was like once you go mass market, once you try to push volume, then that's – so I think Morphe, there's no comparison between something like a lifestyle business like Morphogen or, you know, whatever you want to choose, like, you know, two people in a doing good but for themselves and a Redcon One. Mm-hmm. It's a world domination versus I built this cute little business here. So yeah. It's not Redcon One and Aaron Zingerman, they're going after world domination. This is not it's not a good comparison.
Yeah.
Valid
I agree
point.
With that.
All right, let's move on to, let's tackle some of these comments before they build up. And for all the listeners out there tuning in, get your comments and questions in. We'll stay on as long as you guys have questions and smart aleck remarks for us, like this one from Devin. It says, apparently we have our Halloween costumes on today, guys. We're looking exceptionally scary.
Well, thank you.
Well, no, no, no. He didn't say we look scary. He just said that we've dressed up.
It's implied. It's implied that we've got our
costumes. So he could technically mean we look better than we did other days.
That's possible. Oh. That's possible. There's shame with the positivity, as always. I need to move to New Zealand. That way I will always be in a good mood and always look on the bright side of things.
Yeah, look at Shane.
Or light, one of the stories on the Stack 3D site today, Shane, was lightly dosed.
Yeah, I could have stopped laughing.
I put that out there for you.
I saw it. I actually screenshot the formula because that was ouch.
But well, then the thing is called advanced.
Advanced. But then I saw what Shane posted. I was like, oh shit, he ruined it for me. That was my
lightly dosed.
I had to format that label to put it in there because I knew that you would read it and see lightly. And I'm like, did I put it in the title? I probably did.
Yeah, you did.
I think the fact that it's advanced, that's a killer.
I mean, what was it like? Half a gram of citrulline malate?
Yeah.
I was like, oh God.
50 milligrams of dynamine, 300 of caffeine. And then
2.5 grams of beta-alanine.
Yeah, it was beta-alanine and caffeine. I guess that's what makes it advanced. It was 300 caffeine and 2.5 of beta-alanine.
Which one is it?
But to their credit, estrogen was at 50 milligrams. I thought that was pretty based on everything else that was in there.
Well, at least the underdose shit's going to be digesting very well.
What is it? Which product is it?
Advanced.
It's called Advanced Pre-Workout.
Effective Nutrition, Effective Pre. It's a UK brand.
Okay. Sounds effective.
Latest stories.
I still like the one that Robert caught the what was it, Glycer Pump, I think, and Eurofactor, that they were not part of the formula, but they were highlighted actually on a container. That was the funniest thing I have ever seen. Like, how can you sink so low? Like, you actually highlight the ingredient that your product does not contain.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If you let a label error that glaring slip through your QA QC department, there's no way I'm trying your shit. There's no way.
You know what? But it actually, the reason how I actually stumbled upon that was funny because John Cook from South Africa, he posted about overtime and he gave it props and he put like a whole nice write up about how great the product is and the ingredients and whatnot, and that guy made a comment. He says, because he said it's like a nootropic of the year. So John really liked overtime. Mm-hmm. And the guy made a comment. He says, wait a second. He says, you didn't try ours yet. Meaning like you're going to be blown away. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. So I looked it up and that's when it came up. I'm like, holy fuck. He put Eurofractor that the product doesn't even have. And then the dosages were like all over the place. It's just like, my question is, do they do it on purpose to try and trick the consumer and lie to him because it's a transparent formula, or are they actually that stupid?
I don't think that's stupid.
No.
I mean, to be fair, both answers in that situation, the person's stupid. But
that's a solid point.
I think they're putting it on the label and not putting it on the formula. That's not, it can't be accidental. Like those
absolutely not
cheap ingredients to add in, like they're branded ingredients, right? Like, I mean, you had to have purposely put it on the label and you had to have purposely not included it, or you had it included, it took it out at some point and then forgot to remove it. Maybe you forgot that. I suppose that could work out either way. No, it doesn't. No.
No. Chris. Chaos is the first supplement he ever had to cut the dose. I can't count that early in the morning. So he takes the full dose sometimes. It is hard to count in the morning. It is. It's a speaking of half dosing, I got a nice little care package the other week from Chaos and Pain. And I texted TJ this morning. I said, all right, man, you've run all this stuff. I said, give me your expert opinion. I said, let me try this. So I ran a Chaos and Pain's Cannibal Ferox pre-workout this morning. It's got 450 caffeine. Two forms of yohimbine in there, and it's got 50 milligrams of theophylline for its stems. So I said, TJ, do you recommend that I do a half scoop on this? And he said, yes. I did a half scoop on it. I took it at 9:30-ish I mean, I don't think I ever need to go above a half scoop on that thing. I mean, man, I was flying. It's like, it was one of those workouts where you get to the end of it and you still want to keep going. Like, you are like that zoned in mentally, and you feel phenomenal on it. So this is my first experience with theophylline in a pre-workout.
If you go full scoop on that thing,
yeah,
you won't feel good. You'll feel terrible. No, I'm telling you, it's, at least for me personally, a full scoop of Ferox was, I didn't have a good experience.
Yeah, Sandy said she felt a little, she did a half scoop with me, and she said she felt a little kind of out of it. So maybe we'll try her at a fourth of a scoop next time. But man, half a scoop, my first go around with theophylline, I like that. It's not a dietary supplement in any way, shape, or form, but feels great.
It's a hit and miss with that ingredient. I can go, you know, like Chemix had it in the pre-workout and it made me throw up like a motherfucker. Like, I think it's a hit and miss ingredient. It's not that easy. You know, the guys from ASC Supplements, at one of their first, like when they were playing with the formulas of one of their new pre-workouts, El Jefe, one of the limited edition, they actually added there. I felt like shit on the sample. I told him, hey, man, this sucks. And like Ferox, if you go full scoop, I'm telling you, like for me personally, it didn't feel well. It's a hit and miss ingredient.
I also agree with that, because when first Chemix came up with it, I looked it up, because it's actually,
it's medicine.
It's medicine. Yeah, it's illegal. It's a drug. It's a prescription medication. I remember I had to ask Marina. I was like, Marina, I said, what is this? She goes to me, this is illegal. This is prescription medication. This should not be in a dietary supplement at all. So she said, basically, that's even worse technically from a law perspective than DMA, because this is actually controlled. This is prescription. So I looked through a few of the manufacturers because I was just interested, like, to see how it feels. And you said 50 milligram, right?
Yeah, in the full scoop. So I only got 25 of it.
So I actually found finally somebody who could ship it to me, and I actually got it. And I added it to, I don't remember, I think it was Hooligan, the previous formula. It was last year. I think I added to Hooligan. And Hooligan, you know, to Assassin, I would never dare to do that. But with Hooligan, I felt very comfortable adding it to it. So I added, it was 50 milligrams, so I added 25 milligram. On 25 milligram, I used it 3 or 4 times. And every time I felt slightly different. Maybe it depends on what I eat or how I feel or how I slept. I don't know. Like, once I had a tremendous headache, like serious, serious headache from it. Then another time I actually felt very good. I had an incredible workout. You know, I think it kind of enhanced the whole again. So it made it maybe a little bit better on that occasion. But once I actually made it to the full serving of 50 milligram, I used that. I made myself to use it 3 times or 4 times or something like that. The first time, I guess my body was like kind of in a shock. I threw up and I felt like shit the entire day. I mean, forget about the fact that I had Hooligan, which, you know, usually it lasts fucking hours. I didn't feel like hours. I felt like I crashed badly because I threw up so bad. And I was sweating profusely. All I could do was just sit on a couch and literally like barely move. I felt like shit. So on 50 milligram, I thought that it was like definitely not good. So I looked it up, and then when I read all the side effects and stuff like that, it comes with quite a long list of side effects. So I think like maybe if you use a small amount, maybe it can enhance, maybe 10, 15 milligram or something like that. 25 would be max. But like I said, on 25, it was hit and miss. I felt good, and I felt so-so.
Yeah, I texted my sister because she's a pharmacist, and I know you know that, Robbie. And I texted her because she's not a huge fan of the supplement industry in general, just because, you know, given her background with pharmaceuticals and all of that. I texted her. I said, hey, look, check out this label. And she said, oh, my God, what are you taking? And I said, yeah, theophylline. I'm curious to try it. It's got a super long half-life and, you know, all that. She said, it's a really old-ass anti-asthma drug. She said, she says, we monitor people's peaks and valleys on it very carefully with that, because she said it doesn't react very well with some people.
Yeah. And do you have any idea how they actually bring it in? Like, how do they bring it into a – because is it a version that's not controlled?
I don't know. It's anhydrous form.
Well, you see, the thing is that it's the same thing. It kind of falls into the same category as, say, for example, Viagra, right? So it's a prescription medication. As soon as it's prescription, it's already very tight with the supplement with the supplement industry and manufacturing. So say, for example, if you have a proper manufacturer, say, I don't know, milk specialties or Command Nutritional, some of those like legit GMP, FDA, the ones that are actually getting regulated and go by the book, they will not even allow you to mention that word because that's a big, big no. Like I know for a fact that one of our manufacturers, Command, we manufacture protein with them and a couple of other things, and we talk to them, and they won't even touch such things as NUPEP. They won't touch such things as Hordenin. And those are kind of like gray line. Yeah, they borderline. So 50% of manufacturers will do it, 50% of manufacturers won't do it. But I had to go to some length to find actually theophylline, and I found it from somebody who makes SARMs and stuff like that. So obviously, you know, it's a little bit, but the side effects and what I experienced were exactly like the ones that you would find on Wikipedia and whatnot. And just like Robert said with his sister, as soon as I showed it to Marina, the first reaction was, she says, well, that's stupid. You know, so the thing is that I think that actually Chaos in Pain, like the company itself, the products that they make, especially their sleep formula, like you said, TJ, it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. After I had some trouble with like sleep and stuff like that, I got in touch with TJ because he just reviewed, I think, that one, and he reviewed High Tech, right? So I was like, I picked up the phone and I said, like, TJ, you know what, like sometimes I have issues with sleep and stuff like that. So he goes to me, well, High Tech, for obvious reasons, he goes to me, try not to use it too often, like use it on and off sometimes. And he said Chaos and Pain. So I looked at Chaos and Pain, and the profile is pretty solid. I mean, it's a good label, no doubt about it. And I've used it a couple of times, and all I can say is it's a solid, solid, solid
labels
product.
Labels are just labels.
So you know, I'm not gonna like say anything negative about the company because it's a solid company. They probably But theophylline, yeah, that kind of throws me off because, like I said, that's a hit and miss ingredient, and it just there's something about it. But the sleep formula is absolutely amazing.
I think you know what I think with this ingredient and a couple of others. You know, this is one of these places where, you know, when I review something, a lot of the times I can tell that I'm going to hit like how people will feel 99%. 99% of people will feel what I feel. Mm-hmm. With theophylline and a couple of other ingredients, it is like I do a review, I feel bad. Like it's like a 50-50. Yeah. Some might fly on it, like Robert felt very good on half a
Still
serum.
Feel great. I'm still yeah. rocking,
and,
man.
Yeah,
awesome.
There you go. And some will throw up and feel like shit, or some will feel nothing. There's a couple of ingredients. This is one of them, where I'm very uncomfortable actually stating an opinion because I know people like would go and say, oh shit, this feels like good. Like Chemix was like, Chemix on 3/4 of a scoop, I felt okay. 50% of humanity wanted to die from that shit, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually added on the review, I said, listen, don't buy this. It's a
totally yeah, it's like a disclaimer.
Ignore my review because I don't know what you're going to feel.
So and, you know what? And that ingredient is a prescription medication that, like I said, to get access to it is not easy and it is illegal, basically. But for, like you said, from personal experience with some of those exotic stems and stuff like that, because that's not even exotic stem, that's just drug. But, you know, when we released the first Assassin, I honestly didn't like it, even though everybody was raving about it. And I didn't know why I don't like it. You know, I gave it to try to people. Everybody loved it. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it made me feel. And then I tried a few other products with DMA in it. And I realized that for me, DMA, like, I don't feel great on it. Like, I typically crash. I actually crash from DMA. That's one ingredient that I will feel amazing for about a certain period of time, which is not too long. I would say under an hour. And then after that, I'm like dead tired. Same thing as, I don't know, you would feel on some prescription drug or some shit like that. I don't feel good on it, on that stimulant. But when we switched, when DMA got banned and we switched to DMHA one, it would replace DMA with DMHA. With that one, I felt phenomenal. I felt great. So I think it's also a personal experience as well.
Yeah.
I think I've had a bad experience with a pre.
Ever?
I mean, I've had a crash. The only crash I ever got, I might have had a mild one, but the worst one I got was that original Hemorrhage.
Shane, did you try full scoop of Chemex?
Yeah, I tried.
Chemex, yeah. Did you try full scoop?
Yeah, they sent me sample packs, so I had to do like one and like
nothing on full scoop.
I passed through the entire top of Chemex,
and you liked
I
it?
Like just
yeah, I love I mean, it.
So listen, most that's just like the comment here. So many people got like wanting, feeling like throwing up.
Yeah, I saw
like,
the comments. That's why I bought the top.
I need to try.
That's why I got the top.
Lucas sees people throw it up at what he feeling like death, and he says, "I'm gonna try that."
Honestly, it was my intention. Once I saw the comments on the Chemex reviews, I was like, damn, I need to jump on this stuff. So I bought two tops.
I also wonder if it was the high dose of Kana that was in there too, because there was a high dose of Kana in there, and plus they had theophylline, caffeine, and all the other stuff too. So
I love Kana because it keeps me in this nice, good mood. Smooth, yeah. Nice, clean, like, you know, this vibe. I love this. I love it.
Yeah, I've all, like Zembrin, I've always reacted really well. That's why I liked the original C4 Ultimate, like the very first iteration of it, the one that had Alpha Yohimbine and Kana, and
this is a good product.
Yeah, it was really good. Now it's, you know, shit, or not shit, just not really as good. They've you know, neutered it from whatever. So Pete was found Chemex to be average trim. I never tried it, so I have no dog in the race.
Like it was like insane. I thought it was, I mean, it delivered as good as a average pre-workout can, but I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I think this is exactly what I'm saying. Like with Chemex is one of these pre-workouts that you like as a reviewer, I can tell you just can't hit it right.
Yeah.
Like you with most reviews that I do, people say, hey, man, I like felt exactly what you said. This shit was all over the freaking place. Like some people love it. No problems. Yes, problems. People throwing up. Like it was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy. The original. I didn't feel anything.
Lucas has got this huge erection right now. Look at him. Like, give him 2 seconds to relax.
I remember. Do you even try the original craze?
Yeah, people like were raving about it, so I got my hands on it, and I was like, I don't really feel much of anything.
Really?
I even got a second tub because people were still being like, dude, it's the best shit ever. And I was like, am I missing the boat here or something? I mean, and then I had Jack at the time going back and forth, and I was like, this, I'm definitely not feeling anything. And it's not me.
I think you have a missed batch or something because
dude, I wore a body in the car.
The badge that I had.
Maybe it's just loaded. Maybe it's just genetically immune to drugs. There's to amphetamines. What did it have? Like?
Yeah.
It had some amphetamines, right?
I mean, that was your claim, yeah.
Did you guys? Yeah. No, it felt different. Did you guys see ever? You know the Hodgkins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see their review of Craze?
Oh
my gosh, this is like I'm talking like what is it like 6-7 years ago? They were young.
Yeah,
I'll send you the link. If you can, I'll send you the link later on the group. Like this is you're gonna pee in your pants. It is so funny when they first time after they try Craze the original. I'm talking, of course, it's so fun. I'll send you the link.
Yeah. But anyway, the only pre-workout I've ever had like a super negative reaction to was an old version of Edge of Insanity from Psycho Pharma.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
I think 60,000 views on that review. I called the review Edge of a Heart Attack.
Yeah, I felt absolutely awful. Even at a half scoop, man, I couldn't catch my breath. I just sat on the bench, like huffing and puffing.
Terrible. It's such a shit experience. Yeah. Nobody felt good on that thought.
No.
What's that?
Well, that was one of the reviews where I did a review on it, and then, you know, it was not received well by the brand, obviously, and then, you know,
I remember. You did it with CJ.
I got a lot of not so nasty, not so friendly messages and emails from the brand owner after that, saying him and his wife took it all the time and they were fine. They never had an issue. And I've still got a tub of it sitting in the closet back there, but there's no way.
That's a benefit on my side. I bought it. I paid for it. I reviewed it. I said it's shit. They don't even have my email.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's an advantage.
I think Lucas wants you to send the rest of his tub, send the rest of your tub to him.
I could do that. That can be arranged. I will
gladly send it.
I wanted to say if if you don't mind. Just
no, I'm saying, I mean, it's probably legally it's expired. It's reached its expiration date.
Listen, Lukasz, it's really simple. They had their, and because I talked to them afterwards, because the next versions were okay, they had their more than 5 milligrams of alpha yo.
Yeah, they
did. If you want to feel how this shit feels like, just take 6 milligrams of alpha yo, something like that. And thank you very much. Call me a week after. That shit is like terrible.
It was awful.
Stupid,
it was awful
by
feeling.
The way. Why the hell would you do that shit? It's stupid. Yeah. Zero benefit. Look at that smirk on Lucas' face. Yeah. It's like seriously getting an erection. Like,
I'm already excited.
I think when TJ said heart attack, Lucas's eyes lit up.
Yeah, Lucas was like, started.
DMAA always took me to a happy place. The first couple of times I ever used the original Mesomorph, man, I felt like I could run through a wall. I felt great.
Yeah, the original DMA stuff. Those that shit was that was good the best.
DMA gives the feeling and depression post Molly from the party days. I don't know if I ever. I can't relate to post Molly days, but I never had a crash on it. Glad they're looking into DMHA since we're looking for performance. DMHA is like a, you know. It's okay. It's good. It gave me the euphoria, but not necessarily like the tunnel vision kind of focus that I got off DMAA.
It's nothing compares to the stim of DMAA.
Yeah.
I had some shit, but nothing by itself like Jack did, which was literally just that.
Yeah.
And a few other things. Nothing has come within the realm of that, I would think.
Now, how much DMAA did Jack have?
Who cares?
Nobody knows.
No. The reason is because somebody told me that
it was
they
a proprietary blend.
How much?
It was a proprietary blend.
Yeah. But somebody told me that it was around 30 or 40 milligram, which is
2 grams,
which is not a lot. But what makes me wonder is because I remember even Mesomorph, I think, had only like 30 milligram or something like that.
60.
60?
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Mesomorph, you actually felt it. And I remember Assassin had 80 back when it was still legal. So, you know, so on 60, 80, 30, 40, everybody felt amazing, which makes me question, you know, some of the things that TJ reviews or Review Brothers review, sometimes they claim to be 100 or 120 milligram of DMA. I think it's not true. I think that it doesn't contain anything or way underdosed.
The DMAA now, I believe, is extremely different to what I've had some of those things, and I don't feel anything anywhere near.
Exactly. That those numbers mean nothing.
But also that Jack one, you said.
It may be a DMAA, but not the same form as it was like back in the days, you know?
Was Jack the 30 milligrams per scoop? Because if you remember, they did the 45 per tub, 15 good times per tub.
Yeah.
And so technically that would have been 90 if it was 30 per serving.
Well, yeah. I know that, I don't know if TJ reviewed it, but I know Review Brothers either reviewed it or they posted the fucking picture or something like that, that of a product with supplement facts that had like 100 fucking DMA, 100 DMHA or 500, and they had alpha yo at like 11 or 12.
I reviewed it.
I looked at the label and I think that I'm pretty extreme. I literally, if those were real dosages, we would be fucking dropping dead. There is no way.
No way.
I reviewed it, the Punisher. I reviewed it in my, I reviewed it. And actually I said in the review that there's two options. Either this label is bullshit or there's a graveyard full of people that took this shit. Like there's... It's total bullshit. Like,
but how did you feel in comparison to, say, even Mesomorph?
No, it was. I'm sure 100% didn't have any DMAA or DMHA or shit like that.
Oh, alpha said, yo.
Nine milligrams of alpha yo or 11 milligrams of alpha yo, and I was like I said, literally, if I take this, I probably like again, it's either the whole label is bullshit or you would die. And I think there's another thing which is just shows.
And you took a full scoop.
Full scoop. I got my inner Lukasz in me and I went full scoop.
Oh, man.
It felt like it had maybe 2 milligrams of alpha yo. And listen, the point on that one was that how stupid can you be as a brand owner to actually like brag about 9 milligrams of alpha? I mean, you know what? I get the DMAA appeal. Why the hell would you say you have 9 milligrams of alpha yo? I mean, what's the thing? Like, what's the promise here?
Maybe it was meant to be point
TJ, can I ask you, did you ask for it, buy it, or they actually sent it to you?
No, they sent it to me for you.
So are they that stupid? Because, no, I mean, clearly on label. I mean, who would send something like that knowingly suicidal. That doesn't contain? It makes no sense.
Suicidal to send it.
Maybe they actually asked the manufacturer to put that in there, and then the manufacturer was like, no. This is not what you really want.
No, so I asked them, I said, hey, guys, before I took it, I sent them a test. I said, are you sure that what's on label is in the package? Because, like, you're crazy if it is. Then they said, literally, I think, like, that's a point where you get into that corner. You don't want to say, because then your label is shit. I said, no, everything that's on the pack, on the label is inside the product. And I told him, I probably still have the text. I said, dude, there's either a bunch of people dead or it's not in the label. Like, do you know of people who died? He said, no. So I said, it's not on the label. There's no way. She's so stupid anyway.
Or maybe he sent you a slightly tainted tub and there is a pile of dead bodies and he's just not telling you at
possible.
All.
No, I'm telling you.
Elder, yes, this is the Hooligan, the Apollon Hooligan shaker, though it's heavily weathered because I use this thing twice a day, every day, and scrub the shit out of it. So I've kind of scraped off the Hooligan logo. But yeah, that's the one. TJ, since we brought up Review Brothers a second ago from Zandandito, since you weren't here on Monday, did you get the question about Review Bros and Naughty Boy lifestyle?
What's the question?
They did a review on the Naughty Boys pre-workout, and it was very unfavorable, and then they got some shit. So I'm not sure if they knew. Did you get dragged into any of the drama, or did you get any flack when you reviewed Naughty Boys pre-workout?
I didn't review Naughty Boy. And I don't get dragged into drama usually, unless it's on the podcast here. I don't start.
Well, if you start drama, typically you don't think it's drama to start.
I think that me being dragged into drama is just benefit to the other side on the drama side. Agreed. So I don't want to. If someone wants drama with me, it needs to pay me like for the free advertising.
Still have half a tub of the Assassin DMAA version.
You've been saying that for like a year. Are you using that shit or what?
Especially, he just keeps it in his freezer and does a half scoop every now and then.
Yeah, I think so. That's red tub.
Do you prefer DMAA? All right, this is a good question. I prefer DMAA to DMHA, I think.
Yeah, I would say DMAA, but to be honest, I'd prefer DMAA, then amp citrate, then DMHA.
Yeah.
I wanted to say exactly the same thing.
DMHA is good, but it's, yeah.
I miss the times when the amp citrate was.
Yeah, man, amp citrate was what's the saying? The brightest flames burn the shortest, you know, the fastest.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Amp citrate was came and gone.
Yeah, amp citrate.
Assassin DMAA for special occasions. Will we ever see real DMAA again? No. We're never going to see it again. High Tech fought valiantly in the courts, but no, they ultimately...
It's gone already.
Yeah, it's gone. No. Here's another good one. Do you guys know why we don't see calorie content on pre-workout? No one cares about from Beam, perhaps? They can't do it legally.
Actually, on a pre-workout now, in terms of calories and, you know, amount of carbs and protein and stuff like that, it's actually now regulations that you have to put it in.
So even on amino acid supplements, they're going to have to start doing it?
Yeah. You have to do it. A lot of companies don't want to do it, and the manufacturers don't enforce it. But we were actually supposed to have it on a Hooligan already, and, you know, because the labels were already printed, I remember the manufacturer said, and this is one of those good manufacturers that get visits from FDA, that actually everything is regulated, everything is by the book. They said that, like, okay, we're going to let it slide, but in the future, you know, we would prefer to have it actually. The calories and carbs and stuff like that, it has to be included too.
How did they avoid having that on pre-workout until now? Like, what makes pre-workout different from any other?
You're absolutely right. I don't know if that was the case that they had to do it always, or was it enforced lately? But I know it has to be actually on a pre-workout.
Well, it's part of what they did for the revamped supplement guidelines, the supplement, like the updated regulations for the SFPs, the supplement facts panels. Beforehand, you could not include calories like on all the amino acid supplements, Extend, EAA Max, all of these EAA formulas and BCAA formulas. You couldn't because it wasn't a whole protein. It was just individual amino acids. So even though your 5 grams of BCAAs contain somewhere between like 15 to 20 calories, because 1 gram of like an instantized amino acid isn't the exact same as a gram of protein, but it's pretty close. It's like 3.5 calories instead of 4. So by definition or by the law, they couldn't list calorie contents on there. But now with the revamp and the changes that Robbie was just alluding to, now they're going to have to start putting that on there. So you'll start to see, you know, your tub of Extend will have 20 or 30 calories. You know, if an other amino acid product has 10 grams of BCAAs, it'll have at least 40 calories, or, you know, 35 to 40, give or take, and go from there.
Yeah. In Europe, you get that a lot. Like a lot of pre-workouts have nutrition on them because they go into the milligrams. Mm-hmm. So you'll see like 200 milligrams of sugar, and then, you know, they add that on to the carbs, and then sometimes they'll have like 100 milligrams of protein. It's really weird, but as far as I know, the US ones don't go into that to less than a gram, or round it up to the nearest gram or whatever.
Yeah.
So their pre-workouts and aminos have that, even if it's just like the smallest of small, they have to add it.
Yeah, I think that everybody's trying to kind of avoid it because, you know, everybody sees a calorie or two or three and they start freaking the fuck out. Right. But the truth is, it's like it has to be there now. And I just finished something, a certain pre-workout, a little surprise that's going to be revealed a little bit later. And I talked to TJ about it yesterday. I'm supposed to send him the formula. Robert already has seen it. And it's actually, the company sent us the sample. And on a sample, there is a breakdown.
Look at Shane. He's already making notes.
I'll send every journalist, Shane.
Yeah.
Of each and every ingredient. And there is actually, you know, it says carbohydrates, 3 grams.
So wait. So I'm assuming this is a pre-workout.
It's a pre-workout.
Maybe.
Look at that, Robert. Robert's right there. You just lied when he was. So it's a pre-workout. So I'm assuming it's a continuation of Assassin, or it has to be Assassin, doesn't it?
I'm gonna text you.
Yeah, but you not say no obviously means a yes. Interesting.
I'm gonna text you.
Must be like aiming for the new year, since, you know what, we're last year it came out New Year, so it's a nice 1 year cycle. Oh yeah. Interesting.
Okay. I mean, you're heading in the right direction, but you are so off that when I'm going to tell you, you're going to freak the fuck out.
Interesting.
You guys are
so all pre-workout. Total
OGs, by the way.
No, it is a pre-workout. It's definitely a pre-workout.
That. Is it like a special edition Assassin?
Shane.
Give up, Shane. What the hell?
Dude, I don't know if you know this, but... In most aspects of life, I don't really give up. So for me,
I like it. He's persistent.
I'm intrigued.
So Lucas, how is the weather in Poland?
it's raining curiosity.
Here we go. Are there any next gen formulas from Apollon you're really excited to drop or make? The new Hooligan is amazing, by the way. So Robbie, I'll let you tackle this one.
What's the next gen formula from Apollon?
This is probably Shane's other name.
Did you just realize the name on this guy?
Yeah. I just said it. The nick is perfect, man.
I don't think Shane would put that name on his...
Cream on her, yes. There's definitely... There's at least three formulas that Robbie and I have been talking about behind the scenes that are coming. The first one that Shane already heard. The second one, we've had a call with a manufacturer at the end of last week on. We're about to put in the order for that soon. And then...
That's the sleep supplement? I know that's somewhere in there.
There is a sleep supplement in there somewhere. We don't know the order that those are going to be released yet.
You got three. A pre-workout, a sleep supplement.
There's a few other things coming too.
Shane, you got a story already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to...
I want Robbie to send the KGB after me.
I'll just send Lucas.
I'm down. I got nothing to do, so
Shane can't take the new Apollon pre because it will be over his car limit. Comment of the day, Pete. Comment of the day.
That's a great job, man.
That was awesome. So on the money.
That was the best comment. That was good.
Winner.
It shows who listens to podcasts. So there we go. Great job, man.
That's awesome, Pete. I'll send you a tub of Edge of Insanity if you want. If you want for comment of the day. So all right, funny. Guys, listeners out there, keep the comments and things rolling. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Shane for the Fast and Furious lightning round.
Oh yes. Okay. This is always tricky to go with. I'm going to go with I'm going to start with Robic. And I'm going to bring up Gaspari Nutrition. Now, I don't know if you saw this, they've announced a supplement that's apparently been in the works for 2 years.
Yeah, I saw the 2 years thing. Oh my God, come on.
So they were going to drop it. I think I mentioned this previously, but they were going to drop it in before lockdown came out. They did greens, they did health supplements, more like well-being stuff, and put this on hold. So I guess that added 6 months. So before they would have said a year and a half, now they can say 2 years. But it's called Super Pump Aggression. Now, the key part here that I find interesting is that they said that they're going to use next generation ingredients and technology and like all new, I don't know, formula technology. They didn't really go into specifics, but they said next generation ingredients, which would lead me to believe that they're talking about something entirely new. Because if you're just going to give me citrulline again, then that's not really next generation ingredients. I could be wrong. So what do you think about Gaspari's hype on this? Have you worked on a supplement for 2 years? And are there any next generation ingredients that you could be thinking of that they could be throwing in here to make it pop?
You know, Gaspari actually attended last year's All-Star Seminar and, talked to him for quite some time. And, I remember during the seminar, he said that the supplement industry is overpopulated and it's overcrowded. And I remember him making those comments. And let's face it, again, being totally 100% transparent here, Gaspari is not the name that it used to be 10 years ago. That's just a fact. And, I'm not saying it's not a knock on a company or Rich. It's just a fact. It was the most powerful company in the supplement industry. I remember in 2009, because they had an event at Apollon, I think that year they made $85 million in sales, which back then, 11 years ago, that was unheard of. That was insane. So they were the top company. The first ones, I think, who introduced, if I'm not mistaken, clostridexin to the market with the glycofuse. And, the company was always very, very innovative. You can't take that away. They had a few troubles with the law, of course, that was kind of well documented as well. The fact is, if it came actually from anyone else, I would take it with a grain of salt. The reason is because some companies, when they announce they're going to release something unbelievable, 99.9%, I think it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit, and then we see the label and nobody's actually surprised. And it's true what Helder said. He bought it from Hi-Tech. We know about it. He now controls the company. I think he moved some of his warehouses as well. Rich was always very innovative. I mean, he did it with Halodrol. He did it with Glycofuse. He did it with a bunch of, I think his Cizon and his pre-workout were pretty, new to the market, and he was doing very, very good with it. I do expect that it's possibly true. The fact that he says that it's been in the works for 2 years makes me a little bit skeptical because, let's face it, the ingredients and the market changes every fucking few months, especially when it comes to pre-workouts, and that's the reason why we were so successful with Hooligan and Assassin releasing every year a new version, because every year it actually kicked ass of the previous version. So I think everything is so new. Even now, I already can think of certain things to improve of what we have right now. So 2 years makes me a little bit skeptical, it's been in the works for 2 years. It probably was in the works for 6 months, if that, The label, I have to admit, that you posted is beautiful. I think it's very, very nice. It kind of stands out. And again,
you like it?
Well,
it's very different. Yeah.
It's different. Well, exactly. Because remember what I said about, what is it, Devastate of the Union? I said that a lot of things goes into the label, whether you like it or not. You cannot disrespect the fact that the company did something different and they took a chance. So I can see like some people probably will not like as far as new label. I actually like it. But the main thing, I believe you. And but it's different. They took a chance and I respect that. They made something completely different. Like if you showed me the label, I would never guess that it came from Gaspari. That's for sure. Yeah. About new ingredients, I mean, look, today you can go and put certain new ingredients or trademark ingredients, and there are a few that, Robert and I discussed in the last couple of months that came, even the dreaded S7, it came guns blazing, you know, that it's like the newest thing and it's the greatest thing, and what is it, like 6,000% more effective than anything else. We can all make those claims. And perhaps they're going to have something. But the thing is, what makes me skeptical, so if they came up with that like 2 years ago, they're working on it for 2 years, how come none of us have any, you know, information of the new secret ingredients? That makes me, unless it's theophylline, which is fucking prescription medication that nobody thought about because it's a fucking drug. So that could be the case too. And knowing that halogrel can contain actually illegal supplements such as anabolic steroids, that would also not be a surprise because it's coming from Gaspari. But nevertheless, I'm just being honest. It's the truth.
It's not subtly backhanded. It's
yeah, I'm not making this shit up. I expect that it's going to be actually a good pre-workout, but I think I did read what Shane posted, that he's a little bit skeptical about it. I am skeptical. I don't think that it's going to be anything that's going to blow the roof, and it's not going to be like the product that that had fucking 9 milligram of alpha yo or whatever. I think it's probably going to be a good, full, you know, transparent pre-workout. Rich does pay attention to everything. He definitely does his research. So I think it's probably going to be something good, but I'm definitely not holding my breath that it's going to be something that's, you know, going to be a game changer. If I'm wrong, congratulations, Dan.
To their credit, they didn't say this was game-changing, which I appreciated.
That's a good thing.
I'm curious. If I don't see ingredients that I haven't seen before, I'm going to be disappointed. This is kind of like the pre-cage sport thing. You put it out there, if I don't see game-changer, I'm going to be disappointed. I could have been impressed if you didn't say game-changer, but you said that. I would have been impressed if they didn't say next generation ingredients, but they have. So now if I don't see that, I'm going to be a bit disappointed.
Well, you have, for example, Alpha GPC, right? I saw it on few labels written in different way that, you know, you actually have to look into it and actually see, wow, that's actually Alpha GPC, but it's written in a way that you've never seen before. Or DHMA, you know, you have DHMA Natural 2.5 that you can get from a plant, and then you see it as a English fucking walnut tree, and then you can see it as a Moroccan walnut tree, and I don't know, from Zimbabwe tree. So, you know, there are so many ways of saying the same shit over and over again, but at the end of the day, it's written different, but it's the same fucking shit.
I would rather see something, I would rather see a formula that doesn't have any ingredients I haven't seen before than a formula that just has different names for ingredients, because then I know that they're blatantly just trying to use the different names.
But let me say this, you would like to see ingredients that you didn't see, but yet they're effective, not just ingredients for the hell of it.
You know what? I would be more impressed to see ingredients for the hell of it, because they've gone out and tried to do something different, even if it sucks. I see
your point.
Because they've said it. They've said next generation. But I didn't think of your idea of them using a branded ingredient. That is a very high possibility, because you could use a new generation ingredient as a brand new branded one that came out this year.
Yeah.
I always have high hopes, but I feel I might be let down on this time.
Possible. I'm going to interject real quick, Shane. Yeah, cream on her. That is exactly what we were saying earlier, is that the original form of Edge of Insanity, TJ and I both pretty much hit that nail and drove it through the board. repeatedly over the years, it made me us and feel Lucas, like I think
me and, I haven't had a bad pre-workout, so I think me and Lucas are of the same mind. Like,
you will with this.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm very curious. So yeah, man.
I'm not gonna do 9 milligrams of alpha yolk, but I yeah. Anyway, so the next one I have. Yeah, but you don't want to like live half of that once, do you?
Yeah, sure, man. But let's give it a shot.
The next one's for TJ, and this is this might be. You know, I'll give you a choice. You can choose between Ghost and XP Sports.
No.
You choose, man. Ghost sounds. I don't know who XP Sports are.
So. Oh well, there we go. So Ghost is coming out with, I don't know if you ever tried their pump pre Ghost pump, yeah. But regarded as like one of the best out there, and from a lot of people, myself included, they're coming out with a 2.0 version. I think there was talks of a 2.0 Legend as well. So their original, their very very original Ghost Legend, which I think is like 3.5-4 years old now. Yeah. It's up there. But the focus this week was the new Ghost pump, already one of the best out there, and they believe that this is going to be even better. You know, what's your thoughts on it? Like, I mean, it's you're at that point where if I haven't seen a product that's better than the original, there's no much point in changing. But they believe they can make it better. I like the challenge. I don't think they're going to fail on the challenge either. They haven't really. So yeah, what's your thoughts on
I mean, it's very hard. Yeah, I think when you have something, when you nail something and it's really really good, I would just say that 99% of the times the next generation is placebo effect better. That's all I'd say. And I'm not saying it's not better, or I would just say that when someone says, oh my, like let's say it's very very good, like really you nailed it, right? And specifically with something like pumps, because with pre-workouts, I can say that you will feel a bit different. But if you literally nail the 10 out of 10 on pumps, what's better? Like you're going to get bigger. And what is going to be better? I think 99% of the time it's placebo. If they actually are able to nail it, all the power to them. I mean, I would be surprised that you would try it and say, oh shit, I'm twice as swole now.
That's the thing. That's you know, now that you mentioned it, because to be honest, I would give the original as close to 10 out of 10 as I could. But then my thought process is if I try a second version, I feel they could potentially raise my standard of 10 out of 10. Because I thought Super Pump 250 hit like a train, right? Mm-hmm. And then I had jacked.
But that's what I'm saying. No, that's a pre-workout. That's what I said. Stimulants is different. Yeah. Because stimulants, you can literally feel there's a thing, right? You can have a pre-workout and it's really, really good. And then you add mood elevation to it. You add more euphoria and you say, oh shit, this is even better. Now with pumps, what am I going to make you? Like swoller? Like you're swole. Now you're swoller. What is it?
A swollest.
Swollest. Swollest stir. But what I would tell you though is that I'm sure that some would say, oh my God, this is 10 times better than the previous one. Just because
I don't think it could not be 10 times better.
You wanna bet that some review channels are gonna say that it's a game changer and it's like 10 times better? I mean, you wanna bet?
I'm not taking this.
Put some money on this shit. Someone will sit down on his computer and say 10 times better.
If anyone's willing to take that bet, I'll oppose them with TJ. I'll go on the other side.
So, but yeah, I think that there's definitely taking that to next one.
Wow, Peter's on fire today.
Peter's on a roll. Yeah, he's rolling.
Bathroom's next. Are you taking us inside your bathroom next?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Just because you've been on such a roll, you can decide where we go next.
Pete today is like Shane on Monday.
I know, but he's on fire.
Yeah, he's on fire. Maybe we should bring him on the podcast.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, you know what, Pete? You just earned a spot on the podcast next week. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're in that elderly house next week. I mean, are you home or where are you? So, yeah. Anyway, that's my thought. I mean, there maybe can it be better. Probably. Will some people say it's 10 times better? If I do the Pepsi test, would someone feel the difference really? Probably not if it's already that good on pump. But that's my opinion.
Shane, did they mention that it's going to be 10 times better or something like this?
I've heard some things from them that I couldn't say, but nothing to the extent of I haven't seen the whole formula.
Yeah,
I'd probably be a little more like confident. Again, the Ghost Pump formula, the original one, wasn't like too ecstatic. So they didn't
confirm any ingredients yet, right?
I have knowledge of like two or three, but again, it's not the whole thing. And they didn't want it out until it was out. So I was like, okay. But like, even the three that I know aren't like good indicators of, they're just kind of what you'd expect to be in that kind of thing.
And I mean, so the original formula is super solid. I mean, it's hitting from every pathway. You've got, you've got citrulline in there. You've got 2.5 grams of arginine nitrate. You've got taurine for cell hydration, glycerides, which I could take or leave. I know it might be in there from a marketing standpoint too. Some people think glycerides would be effective or glycerol powder, but I mean, based on the research, you need a shit ton. Norvaline, I'm betting they're probably going to remove, if I had to guess, just that because there's the one study coming out showing that it was toxic to neurons.
Brain, yeah.
Pine bark is a great one. Astrogen is good. So, I mean, they've got the polyphenols. They've got the precursor with citrulline. They've got arginine nitrate. So you're getting both arginine to support that and the nitrates for the nitric oxide pathway. I mean, and the polyphenols from pine bark. I mean, you could swap out pine bark for something like pomegranate, possibly, or do something like a vasodrive AP where you're going for ACE inhibition. I know there is one new ingredient that's being worked on. I don't know if they're using it, but I know there's a new pump ingredient that's being hyped by the developers of it. So I'm looking to get the research on that and see if it's actually worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, typically what the sequels go bigger, higher dosages, but that doesn't seem to be in Ghost style. This would also be the very first V2. Oh, no, they did amino V2, BCA V2, but this would be the first real big V2 they've done.
Yeah.
Alongside Legend. The next story I got is for Robert, and this is Glaxon's, the multi. So I mean, they kind of took it's what I call the machine multi approach with MTS Nutrition, where they do 100% of the daily value. They did it with not all the vitamins in there, but like majority.
Almonds.
You know, if we were all walking around the house and eating food and living our regular life, it would make this podcast way more difficult to follow.
Yeah, it would.
Snacking and going to the couch.
So they did a multivitamin. I thought it was quite a... I felt like it was very similar to Ghost, not in so much the ingredients, but the approach. Not like too complete, like a pros all-in-one type thing, and not as loaded as like some of those other products that bring together a whole bunch of things. So they have the 21 vitamins and minerals. There's the added Marigold for the eye health and vision, and then there's a I think it's like a patented blend to help with the absorption of the nutrients. And then there's the Super Shroom blend, which is obviously what Glaxon had in its Super Greens. And then they sold as a standalone. But the dose of the Super Shroom blend in the multi is not close to quite what it is in the Greens or standalone. But what's
pill form, right?
What was that, sorry?
I was saying pill form.
Yeah, it's caps.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of the, it's kind of like saying, oh, if I have citrulline and capsules, though, should I have 1 gram instead of six? It's
no, I mean, either don't put it or you're going to accept.
Yeah.
20 capsules, right?
But yeah. I suppose if their thought process is that you're going to have this with Super Greens, it's kind of, or even standalone, I guess that kind of makes sense.
It's not like a citrulline thing where you need to hit a baseline before you get an effective thing. So, I mean, you're getting little amounts of beta-glucans and all the fun little polysaccharides that are within mushrooms, even at a little dose. And like Shane said, it's probably meant to be stacked with their Super Shroom or Super Green. I mean, like at this point, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, they're like, hey, we've developed this really cool mushroom blend. Every little bit helps. let's toss it in there. So I mean, that's not, it's just like an extra feature. I do like the marigold extract and the lutein and zeaxanthine for eye health.
I'm glad you pronounced that.
Yeah. You compared it to machine multi chain, and
just in the sense of the 100%.
That's what I'm going to say is that this is where you can tell that Glaxon knows their shit and MTS went the cheap route in their multivitamin. Because if you look at the forms of the minerals that they're using, Glaxon is using the premium, the highly bioavailable, the bioactive form.
Yeah, I remember they mentioned in this.
Methylcobalamin, the methylfolate that's on there, the P5P, vitamin B6, even stuff like the chelated minerals for zinc. Magnesium, manganese, all of those, where you look at machine multi, they've got magnesium oxide, which has like 10% bioavailability. Same thing for zinc oxide. They've got cyanocobalamin, which is the cheap form of B12, the cheap form of B6. If you're going to pay a top dollar for a multivitamin, this is a really, really good option to do that.
What's the price of machine multi anyway? If I'm so, is it like 10, 15?
Yeah, it's 10 bucks.
Yeah, I remember being. I mean, that's the thing. Like, this is 10. That's 10. This is 30.
Yeah.
It's I think they, like Ghost did, they kind of knocked on the premium level without going too all in one. They kind of kept it well balanced.
Yeah.
I remember they mentioned they went for the more premium forms where they could.
Right.
There was like one branded one in there, I think. Was it the folic acid?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people do the tracks and then the albio and all that stuff. I think they just did the one, but yeah, for a brand that has what, 15 different supplements in its lineup, it's kind of one you want in there. Yeah. And they did the Glaxon approach, which again, cause I think a $10 multivitamin wouldn't have fit in the, mm-hmm. into the Glaxon style.
I really like this formula a lot, and I don't get super excited, but I mean, like when you asked me about the Ghost multi a week or two ago, I like that one for what this riff that they did on it. If supplement companies are going to do a multivitamin, because face it, we can get a $5 or $10 multivitamin from the grocery store. I don't need to buy it from my supplement company. This is what I want to see supplement companies doing, using highly bioavailable forms of minerals and throwing in, you know, maybe one or two other little fun ingredients for some other kind of benefit, not, you know, just rehashing what I can get from like the dumpster at the grocery store. That's what I don't like when a lot of brands do, because they say, buy our new multi. It's a commodity. I'm thinking, well, it's dog shit. I'm just wasting $9.
I think a lot of them have the issue of trying to compete with those $9 multis that, you know, they don't want to risk and bring out a 30 and not sell, especially like, I think MTS is a very mainstream brand as it is. It's a lot less premium than Glaxon and Ghost. So I guess $10 vitamin fits, but so the next one I have is for Lucas. And I think this is I like this time of year and Easter in Europe because of when they do this. Like around Easter, I don't know if you're in Europe, almost every supplement company out there comes out with a damn Easter egg, and it's like a protein chocolate, and they'll put like their protein bar inside or some shit. And so at Christmas, it's very much the same. Almost every European company will come out with an advent calendar. And this past week, we've seen like three. Foodspring got 7, has 2. Rockin' Nutrition has done 3. Foodspring's got 2, I think it is. They do a vegan. I can't remember the other one. I think the other one's just regular. I like an advent calendar as much as the next guy. But what is it in Europe where like all of them, is it just easier to make your own? Because these calendars, the GOT7 one is 4 feet tall. It's not small. And it's like 25 pounds in weight. Well, these things aren't little.
The stuff, right?
But like, is it just easy to make or like?
It's easy. It's definitely easy to make. And it's like this tradition. I mentioned to you also on Facebook, I believe, you know, Old King, the company that was, that is
oh, they making it.
Yeah, they're also launching like advent calendar, which is also amazing because their bars are big, you know. And if you like, if you want to pack like 30 bars in like a box, then it's gonna be also massive. So yeah, man, it's a traditional thing, and I think
I mean, it's a tradition in a lot of countries.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity to promote your brand, the products, and plus. In these kind of like calendars, you always can find some unique products, something different, new flavors, unique products, those kind of things.
So Rocket Nutrition, I think they were saying out of the 24 treats that they have, like full-size treats and samples in the advent calendars, as much as 18 of them are unreleased beta, like concept products.
Yeah.
And then I think GOT7, they did that last year. I think 15 out of their 24 were like concepts that never been released. So you buy these things, you get more than... why are you teasing me with 5 calories, man? I think it's like one of those times of years where it's just fun, and I like it when you can count on Europe for, like, I mean, they don't blow up St. Patrick's Day, and they don't bank on July 4th, but when it comes to these occasions, they just, I like seeing it, and I really want to get my hands on one, just because the idea of a brand putting out an advent calendar that has 18 new products that you'll never get to try again, or you'll get to try before other people. That's just damn cool. And a lot of those, like Foodspring and Rocker, they're doing vegan versions. So one of the calendars is like, they have options where it's just all vegan products.
Yeah.
Less of them are new, but they're all vegan. I think GOT7 is doing a Flavor Drops one as well.
Yes.
It's like 24 packets of concentrated flavor in each.
As a matter of fact, I ordered this one, and I also ordered the Oat King. So they are on the way.
You should have waited. You should have got the other GOT7 one. The other GOT7 one looked better.
I will do that for sure. So
you can, what do you mean? These are like 50 euros a piece. Every day in December, you're just going to open, what, 5
bowls or some shit? You live once.
I think if I get one, I'm just opening it the day one.
This year, like, was screwed by COVID, so I deserve some extra desserts.
So you deserve 5 advent calendars.
Okay. Yeah. So each day I'm gonna take one of each calendar. I will have like.
You can just have one with each meal.
Hell yeah, man! Something like this. I got plenty of macros to spend.
Yeah, see, I can't. I need these low-calorie advent calendars because apparently my carbs are short on supply.
I can imagine, man.
I'm joking. I don't fucking... I'll have a pre-workout if it's got 50 grams of carbs. Jesus Christ. Okay, 50 grams, I may have to shave a bit in the morning, but, you know, I'll have less oats in my smoothie, but, yeah, it'll do.
Horrible. Man, great, all right. Any
great
other
stories?
Sweet.
Say it again, Lucas.
I said great stories for the week.
No, this is something personal happened. I'm done with you guys. Listen, I'm like 10 minutes over my time with you people. I'm hungry and I need to pee. And like, you guys can care. Like, I'm old.
If you exited TJ without saying that, I don't know what it would be. I don't know if it would be a complete podcast.
I don't know. It feels like you're pulling it for, like, you're literally forcing me to say that. That's what it feels.
Yeah,
I'm always waiting till TJ starts to, you know,
jump. Yeah, happy dance.
I need to pee.
I so need to pee, by the way. Are we done here?
We are good.
You just didn't go pee during the podcast. You did everything else.
That's the only rule we haven't seen.
Save something for the next one.
We can't see voice down. It doesn't matter.
It's also too small, like I told you. I don't use it. I think it's small. Actually, I haven't seen it in like a while.
All right, gentlemen, I think we're gonna cut on that note. Thank you to all the viewers for tuning in. If you like what we're doing here, give us a thumbs up, like, comment, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we will see you next time on the Final Scoop.
Awesome, thank you.